This morning's scripture reading will be from Psalms 127, verses 1 through 5. 127, verses 1 through 5. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for he so gives his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate.
The Lord is good that he allows us to come and worship in spirit and in truth. As we continue to live our lives, it's good to see all of those who are with us, those who are visiting with us. I want to let you know that you are indeed our honored guests. And this year, we are talking about the majesty of God. And for the next couple of weeks, we're going to be talking about the majesty of God in the home. If you notice, in the home, not and the home. Amen. So in the home. When we consider the glory of God must be seen in his people. God's majesty and glory is seen in some of the characteristics given to us in the scriptures. If you will, turn your Bibles to the book of Exodus, chapter 34, verses 5 through 7. Here we see some of the characteristics of Jehovah. When we consider the majesty of God, we're talking about his greatness. For God indeed is great. I'm reminded of Moses who wanted to see the glory of God. And so God demonstrated to him his glory. In Exodus chapter 34, verses 5 through 7. Now the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed the Lord God. Notice the characteristics of Jehovah. Merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abounding in goodness and truth. When we consider some of these great characteristics, notice what he goes on to say. Keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and the fourth generation. There we see some of God's great characteristics. These characteristics, as we have demonstrated with the scriptures, demonstrate the righteousness of Jehovah. We see that God is a great God. We understand that he is majestic, meaning that he is great. He is good. He is merciful. He is long-suffering. He forgives. When we stop and we consider these particular words, how can the Christian home imitate the glory of God? How can the Christian home imitate the glory of God here at the Ninth and Main Church of Christ? I do want to say from the onset that we have some excellent families here. We're very fortunate and blessed here at the Ninth and Main Church of Christ. We have families that are genuine and godly. Families that are spiritual and sacrificial. Families that understand spiritual things and also secular things. Their balance. We have families who are designed spiritual guidance and encouragement. How can we think about the family and not think about God? For he is the one that established the family. Some may be thinking, how does this apply to me already? Either you have already developed and established and reared your family, or you're doing it at this particular time, or you're considering. It doesn't matter where we are, we have a responsibility to not only help those who are beginning, help those who are in the midst of it, but also help ourselves. What improvements can we as the people of God do to help or aid our young families, to encourage them, to nurture them, in order that they may nurture and educate their own families, their marriages, and themselves. What can the older teach the younger? How can the older position themselves to teach the younger? Will the older teach the younger? Will the younger teach or be taught by the older? Friends, when we stop and we consider some of these great ideas, how can Ninth and Main help every family to be more spiritual? How can we stress the need to discern? I'm reminded of the Hebrews writer in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse number 14. And the reason, one of the reasons why we have the Word of God is to help us to discern good from evil. It's very important for us to make those distinctions. God himself is one that understands and knows the difference between good and evil, right and wrong, good, better, and best. I'm reminded of the book of 1 Kings chapter 3. I'm just giving you this as a reference. Don't really want to turn to it. Verses 16 to verse 28. And you remember the wisdom of Solomon and the two harlots. And how one of the harlots did not care if the baby was chopped in half, but the other one did. The true mother did. Friends, when we stop and we consider our ability to know the difference between good, better, and best, what better person to look to than Jehovah God? In Leviticus chapter 10 and verse number 10, holy and unholy. And you remember Aaron and how he was warned because he had just lost his two sons, Nadab and Abihu. But now we have Aaron being warned for Ithamar and Eleazar and how they were to have the ability to discern between holy and unholy. And friends, we stop and we consider these things. All of us must learn to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we may make a distinction between the unholy and holy, between the good, better, and best, between the good and the evil. Turn your Bibles to Psalm 127, our reading. In Psalm 127, when we consider the majesty of God in the home, God is the only one that has the authority to dictate what goes on in the home. We live in a time today where people are going to outside sources as if they have the answers for the home. God, the one that established the home, the one that built the home, the one that created the home, Genesis chapter 2, he is the one that teaches us how the majesty and the greatness and the glory of God should be used in the home. And I said it just like that, should be used in the home. God wants us to use his will, his glory, his majesty inside of the home.
Amen.
Unless or except, depending on your translation, except the Lord builds or establishes the house, the family. Some preachers of old would use this Psalm 127 as it relates to the church. And I can see how you can get there. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15. However, he's talking about the home. He's talking about the family. He said, they labor in vain who build it, unless the Lord guards the city. The watchman stays awake in vain. You think about that idea of building. It literally means in the Hebrew to cause the family to continue, to be established, to be made, watch this, permanent. God has always wanted the male and the female to come together in holy matrimony and it be permanent.
Yes.
We consider the home today and the majesty of God in the home. Too many homes are not allowing the Lord to establish the very institution that he created. Man does not have the right to change the establishment of the home. Two men cannot come together and have a family. Amen. Two women cannot come together and have a family. Amen. Those who are unmarried cannot cohabitate, shack up, live together, and have a family and be right with God.
Amen.
Why? Because we're talking about the majesty, the glory, the greatness of God. Friends, when we consider
the Christian home. The Christian home is saturated with worldliness today instead of the majesty of God. Too many Christian homes think the pursuit of wealth is the goal. But that's not the goal. Luke 12 and verse 15. Jesus would say very staunchly that a man's life does not consist of the abundance in which he possesses, which means that one's wealth does not determine the majesty and the glory of God. Amen. We understand that Jesus would say with his own mouth that, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" When we think about doing the will of God, it's not about the accumulation of things and stuff, but it's about the accumulation of wisdom from God. Too many Christian homes think that righteousness is in the home automatically, just because one attends youth events, come to services, fellowship, etc., etc. These things are good and they're commanded, and we should be doing them because righteousness prevails with them. This is not the end all. Why? Because the righteousness, the glory of God, the greatness of God must not only be seen in the home, but demonstrated in the home. Amen. Friends, our children must see the majesty of God in our lives, and that is translated in our homes. Being a Christian for the last 26, 27 years, being a husband for the last 25 years going on next month, and having 5 children that love God, amen, I believe that I have something I can offer. I think I have something to offer. Friends, when we stop and we consider the greatness of God, the characteristics of God, why should the family see the demonstration of the greatness, the glory, the majesty of God? Because, number 2, when we consider some of the characteristics of the divine family, the Father, the Word, the Spirit, we see something very interesting in the Scriptures. Don't have to make this up. In Acts chapter 2, verse number 23, we're just going to be looking at this. Don't really have time to read all of this, but put them in your notes. We see a God family, a Godhead that actually communicates well together, the determining council. Yes. They determined that the Word would become flesh. They determined that the flesh would live among men. They determined that he would live his life in order to save men from their sins. Amen. In John 15, 9 and 10, they loved one another. Jesus would say in John 15, 9 and 10, that the Father gave me a command, and that command I kept. And no wonder Jesus would say, if you love me, keep my commandments. What do we see in the divine family? Instructions are given. So much to be said there. Friends, when we think about the home, the family, and the majesty of God, you cannot have a godly family if rules, if guidelines, if the Word of God is not directing it, except the Lord builds the house. They labor in vain that build it. We see that they understand their roles. John 12, 48 and 49. He that rejected me and received not my word hath one to judge him. The words that I've spoken the same to judge him in the last days. Notice the words of Jesus. I have not spoken of my own authority. I know my place. The Word, Jesus, God in the flesh, understood his place. He never tried to supersede God the Father, Philippians 2, verses 6 and 7. He never had a power struggle with the Father. He never vied for the power of his Father. But because of his obedience, God put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. God, what are you teaching us? That when you submit to his will, God will give you all the power that you need. Amen. Friends, we see this in the divine family. The divine family always looked out for others. John 3 and verse number 16. The divine family always, watch it now, acknowledged one another. They never downed one another. They always built up one another. Matthew chapter 17, 1 through 5. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. John 7 and verse 17, Jesus would take the words of God as he was being lifted up, if you will. He said, the doctrine is not mine. God, what are you teaching us? God is teaching us that the divine family knows how to mingle and mix with one another. They never fight with each other. They always esteem one another. They always do what is right by each other. Friend, the home must be the same way. God did not give us the guidelines for the home and then say, well, we don't really know what that looks like. No, we know what it looks like. Why? Because the Father, the Word, the Spirit, they are family. They are the divine nature, if you will. And God wants us to be a family that is built upon his principles that he established, that is built upon the divine nature. We got too many, even in the Lord's church, who are willing to go to those on the outside to help the family instead of going to the one on the inside. And that's God himself. He knows how to work with the family. The home is established with the man being the man and fulfilling his role as the spiritual leader in the home. In Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse number 7, he has a responsibility to guide the family, his children, at every opportunity, every waking moment. As you are laying down, as you are walking by the wayside, as you are up and walking, teach your children. How does this look in your home, friends? How does the majesty of God look in your home, even as empty nesters? It still should look the same. Amen. Just because it's just Evelyn and I in the home doesn't mean that I act a fool with her because no one is watching. Amen. As if anything, I ought to be the true man of God, demonstrating that it's just us in here, and I'm going to treat you with the utmost respect because the Godhead does.
Amen.
The Godhead respects one another. How does this look in our homes? If our children, if we are childless rather, then we ought to be preparing for children now. Maybe you are a young married couple having no children. You ought to be establishing the glory and the greatness of God in your marriage. Therefore, when children come, it is translated into the children.
Amen.
Friends, we have a lot of work to do. We should not be letting our children run around crazy. We should not be allowing our children to not be guided by the Word of God. If anything, they ought to see the glory and the majesty of God in us as husbands, in us as men. Well, Brother Mike, I don't have any children at home. You are an example to the younger. Maybe you made some mistakes along the way. We all have. But you ought to be able to help the younger. I have more to say about that here in a few minutes. If you have children, then take the responsibility seriously to bring up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, to teach them how to be modest, to teach them how to be girly, how to be manly. Friends, we're losing this in our nation. We can't lose it in the church. God has always made a distinction between a male and a female. Just because the world has gotten away from the Word of God doesn't mean that the Lord's church gets away from the Word of God. There's a distinction even in the Godhead. There's a distinction even roles in the family. There's a distinction even amongst ourselves. We must keep those distinctions.
Amen.
Just like there is a distinction between the Lord's church and man-made organizations. I don't even call them churches. Why? Because God, Jesus Christ, is the only one that had the authority to build a church, not a man.
Amen.
Friends, the Bible is right. Teach your children to fear the Lord. In Joshua 24, verse number 15, we come across a man that did exactly that. He said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I don't see him going to the wife and saying, baby, what do you think? I don't see him going to the children. Children, do you think we ought to go to worship today? Do you think we ought to go to Bible class? Do you think we ought to go to Lads and Leaders today, children? No, if anything, I'm the man, the spiritual leader, guiding the family. We're going. Why? Because God said so.
Amen.
Friends, I believe that the Bible is right. The man's role has been diminished and belittled in our nation. The face of the home has changed drastically, even in the church. The guidelines for the family have not changed according to the scriptures.
Amen.
Here, this document, this Bible, this holy Biblios, this Hagios Biblios, this word of God has not changed.
Amen.
The family, according to God, except the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it, is still the same.
Amen.
And that's why it does not matter that when you look at men like Seth in the scriptures, that when Enosh was born, then men called upon the name of the Lord. When you see men like Lamech, who had a son by the name of Noah, who did everything according to the will of God as relates to building the ark. When you see men like Abraham, whom God called him his friend. See men like Joshua. Could I go on? We could. Friends, we want to be just like them, except the Lord builds the house. The man is to point his children. Look at Psalm 127 and verse number 4. He is to point his children in the right area, in the right location. Notice, like arrows in the hand of a warrior, a mighty man, one translation would say. So are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man whose quiver is full of them. I remember hearing in the church on one occasion a brother in Christ saying, how many kids you have? We've got 5. Don't you have a television? Stop slapping God in the face. It's a blessing to have children. It's a blessing to have a lot of children. Why? Because happy is the man whose quiver is full of them. Don't let the world demonstrate to you that it's not all right to have children.
Amen.
And young people, this is just my advice. Don't wait too long to have them. Children is for the young. It really is. Children's for the young. What I mean by that, you wait until you're 30, 40, 50, 60 to have kids, that's tough. It's hard to run around them little rugrats. They got a lot of energy. That's why grandparents, we can bring them to the house. We can have the pictures of them. They can rip and run and be like, oh, I'm tired. I'm going to bed. You take them home. That's how we do it. Except the Lord build the house. Friends, the man is supposed to point the child in the right direction and let him go.
Amen.
I told my sons, when you turn 18, you got to go. But my girls could stay as long as they wanted to. And at 18, I thanked them they left. I love them, but that's what you're supposed to do. Go and do what God wants you to do. Children are God's possession, verse number 3. They are an inheritance of the Lord. God, what are you telling us through David? They belong to me. Friends, your children belong to God. But the only way that they can belong to God, you got to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You have to train them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You got to be talking to them about the word of God. So when they come to worship and come to church, they know how to behave. They know what to do. They're taking their notes. They're looking for opportunities to learn more about righteousness and holiness and the majesty of Almighty God. Friends, the Bible is right. And so the home needs to rely more on the wisdom from above. Turn to James chapter 3. In James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18, and the more that I think about this, the more the Bible is right in my mind. And if I'm wrong, someone please correct me. But I only see 2 types of wisdom in the Bible.
Amen.
Unless there's another one that... Because we're always hearing people say, well, we got to use wisdom. Which one?
Yes.
Which one?
Yes.
Except the Lord builds the house. We live in a time where we have people who are trying to build a home, a family, but they're not doing it according to the will of God. Friends, it's still wrong to have another man's wife. It's still wrong to shack up. It's still wrong to have sex before marriage. Why? The glory of God is not manifested in that. We need to be preaching on this. The majesty of God, the glory of God in James chapter 3, verses 13 and following. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct, that's the context, good conduct, that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your heart, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom, notice, does not sin from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. That's one wisdom. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But notice the wisdom from above. Friends, take note, please. Because our homes, if it's not built upon the wisdom from above, is built upon the wisdom from below. Here, for, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield. It's not about what I want all the time. Full of mercy and good fruits, without hypocrisy, without partiality. Friends, did you see that, brothers and sisters in Christ? There's only two types of wisdom. Jesus could have easily grasped for the power of the Father. But what did he do? He submitted to the power of the Father. And what did God do after he was obedient to him? He put all things under his feet. You know, the only one that's not under Jesus is the Father himself. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 23 and following. And so when we stop and think about this, Jesus, the one that we promote, that we love, that we talk about, he lowered himself. And God did what? He raised him up. Friends, if you want to be great in your home, humble yourself. Humble yourself. Solomon would tell his son in Proverbs 1 and verse number 23, listen to my wisdom. Look at that verse. I want to show you something. Because it's very interesting that Solomon says something, and I want to see if we catch it. Because in order for Rehoboam, which is Solomon's son, to really benefit from what Solomon was going to say, then he had to appreciate something about Solomon. Verse 23, turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. You know what Solomon's saying to his son? I'm giving you my heart, son. You know what God does for his people? He has given us his heart. His heart includes his word. No wonder when the Holy Spirit fell upon the 12 and the 12 began speaking in Acts chapter 2, God was giving his heart to the souls of men, and 3,000 souls obeyed the gospel because God gave his heart to men, and men say, I want to live for him.
Amen.
Wow. Poured out his spirit. They began to preach a message, and man obeyed that message because God poured his heart out. What heart are you pouring out to your sons and daughters? Fathers have to spend time at home. You can't spend 80 hours a week away from your children and think that you're going to give them your heart. Friends, you got to spend time with your children. Spending time with your children doesn't mean that you're in one room and they're in another. You got to spend time with your children. You got to talk to your children. They're going to come home with things. You got to be able to spend time with them to bring those things out so the majesty and the glory of God can be revealed in their life. Friends, you got to spend time with your children. Because if you don't, the devil will. Fathers have to spend time with God so they can know what to spend time with their children. Look at Proverbs 1. Look at verse 8 and 9. Notice this godly father. We see the majesty of God in this verse. My son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. Friends, did you get that? Did you see that? Here we see this godly man, this godly father, and he's telling his son, listen to me, but also listen to your mother. We need more fathers in the home, not contradicting the mother. And we need more mothers in the home, not contradicting the father. You need to be on the same page with God so you can be on the same page with one another. Amen. The Bible is right. The majesty of God is seen in the home. If you want to consider the greatest evangelism tool that God has ever given to man is the home, the family. You don't have to concoct anything, don't have to manufacture anything. Have the right family and people will see the wisdom of God being lived out. The father must make sure that the mom is obeyed. The mother must be intentional at home. It's one thing to be a housewife, a mother. It's one thing. But if you're not spending time with your children at home, you're not a mother. You got to spend time with your children. Teach your children. Even in the church, we need more parents going to the law of the Lord instead of watch it now, Googling TikTok, YouTube, and other man-made wisdom tools. Friends, it's all right to go to Google and TikTok and all of those things if I want to build a shed. But if I want to build a home, I got to go to the Word of God.
Amen.
And I've considered this and been thinking about it for years. You know what Google wants to do? Google wants to take the place of God. You got a question? Ask Google. Even spiritual ones. If you have a spiritual question, you need to ask God. If you want to know how to get your marriage better, you want to know, I don't care if you've been married 2 years or 50 years, go to God. The majesty and the glory and the greatness of God will always navigate you in the right direction. If you're looking for the right woman, the right man in your life, go to God. Friends, you stop and you think about this. God has given us his wisdom. Why? Because he wants us to walk the straight and narrow path. He wants us not to be held down by the pitfalls of life. Friends, there is so much that we can see and glean from God, the majesty of God. But we need more older. Look at Titus chapter 2. We need more older individuals in the church. I'm not chastising you. I love you. I'm not chastising. But we need more older brothers and sisters in Christ stepping up, helping the younger. But we need more younger who are willing to humble themselves and listen to what the older have to say. Amen. Friends, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Paul writes to Titus, who is in Crete, and he says something that's worthy of our consideration. If you look at verse number 1, but as for you, speak those things, the things which are proper for sound doctrine. That the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience. The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. That they admonish the younger women, literally that they instruct and teach and warn the younger women. To do what? To love their husbands. The word love in the Greek there is philoantros. And if anything, she is to be a friend to her husband. The same word when you think of the children. She is to be a friend to her children. To be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands. My wife obeys me, not y'all. Your wife obeys you, not me. Why? Because she's supposed to obey her own husband, Ephesians 5 as well. That the word of God, notice the subjunctive here, little Mike, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. This is going to happen if this happens. God doesn't want his word blasphemed. Notice verse 6, likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded in all things, showing yourselves to be a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed,
having nothing evil to say. Friends, did you see that? The older must teach the younger, yet the younger must put themselves in a position to listen to the older. Are you listening, friends? Older generation, brethren, are you spending time with some of us younger ones? Those of y'all who have been empty nesters for a long time, you could help some of those of us who are empty nesters early that we can even get along better. And the majesty of God is revealed even more so in the family. But how about the young families? We need you to spend time with them. Some older members spend more time with their doctors than they do the members of the Lord's church. I'm not being ugly. But friends, we need help for the next generation. The next generation must see the glory and the majesty of God. Amen. Lest we find ourselves in the same position as Israel, unbelief. We need more Christians who are willing to listen to God. I've said this before as I come to a close. If I'm going to an older individual and I'm going there to tell them what's right, then what good am I to them? Let's put ourselves in a position to listen to what they have to say and the mistakes that they made and the good things that they did. They could possibly keep you from making a decision that could alter your whole life. And the next thing you know, the glory and majesty of God goes out the window with the decision you made, and it happens. Our families need to understand that the wisdom from above, it is what teaches the wife to submit to her husband. It is what teaches the husband to love his wife unconditionally, Ephesians 5. To nurture and cherish as the Lord does the church, Ephesians 5:29. To be considerate and concerned, to be compassionate and complimentary. One thing I love about the Godhead. Do you ever see in the Godhead, watch this, the Godhead tearing down one another? Never. Amen. You see them building up one another. I'm not saying that there's not a time for criticism, but I am saying there's never a time to beat someone down. Especially the person you live with. Amen. How is the glory of God seen? How is the majesty of God seen? If everything I hear from you is what I'm doing wrong. Amen. It should be. Hey, how can we help you get better? Isn't that what the pulpit's for too? Isn't that what our relationships are to do as well? For this reason, young people, marry a Christian. Marry someone who is in line with Jesus Christ or has the heart to want to go in that direction. And you be like what Paul told Timothy as relates to elders, lay your hand on no person, no man suddenly. And so we must believe the wisdom of God as it relates to the commitment to the church and her activities. The family must be mindful of this. We must care for sound doctrine and the need to uphold it as a family. We must cherish the times that we have in genuine fellowship with the brethren. Friends, don't stay home if you can bring your children to fellowship. Amen. That's how they get stronger. They're either fellowshipping with the brethren or they're fellowshipping with those who are outside that won't really do them no good. Have more fellowship with YouTube and TikTok and Google and YouTube and all that instead of the brethren. But then when we come together as the brethren, we need to really build up one another and talk about spiritual things and talk about things that's going to help us. Friends, we need to encourage one another to be the best that we can be. The glory of God, the majesty of God. Watch this. In the home. In the home. Question. Is the majesty of God in your home? You don't have to have children at home to have the majesty of God in your home. As a matter of fact, the majesty of God
should go with you everywhere you go.
Amen.
We are trying to win souls. And so we take the majesty of God with us. Next week, we're going to continue these thoughts. And the reason why, friends, is because if we can focus on our families, we'll win more souls. We'll win more souls. Jesus had 12 disciples. Jesus called them little flock. You know what he called them there? My little family. Guess what he calls us as a flock? His little family. Let's say a word of prayer and I'll offer the invitation. Great God and Father, you're good to us. We're thankful for that. We ask the Father that you bless us according to your will. And in those blessings, we turn around and say thank you. We thank you for all things, especially your majesty. And the example that you have given us in your word on how the Godhead, the divine nature, interacts with one another. We're thankful for that. We pray, Father, that our families would do likewise, would grow into that divine nature, that we ourselves can put away the selfishness in our homes, that we can be those who build up one another, encourage each other, and realize the worth and the value that you have for us and that we ought to have for one another. Help us to see you properly, that we may be able to see one another properly, and help us to be a righteous people. We're thankful, Father, for this local work, this local congregation. We pray to Father that our families here will realize and always keep in mind that we're imitating your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask these things in his precious name. Amen. Maybe you're not a child of God. We want you to be. We want you to experience, taste, and see that the Lord is gracious. Experience the majesty of God. His greatness. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Be willing to repent of your sins. I mean, turn away from sin. Be willing to confess Jesus Christ. Be willing to be baptized in water for the remission of your sins, and God will add you to his Son's church, the Church of Christ. Maybe you're a child of God and you haven't been exposing yourselves to the majesty of God on a daily basis. Friends, I want to encourage you, not only read the Word of God, but study it. Not only study the Word of God, but apply it. And not only apply the Word of God, but go proclaim it. And God will do something amazing in your life. God, what will you do? I'll save you. That's enough. As we stand, as we sing, the Savior's invitation.